Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Willie P is in the building. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com, as well as the radio.com app, where you can use that to rewind anything that you might have missed throughout the day, including college football game time. Sam Crenshaw and Greg Clarkson, who get double duty this week. They'll be on tomorrow morning. We will not have our usual Falcons fare on Sunday. That all moves to Monday night. Our Wade Ford tailgate show begins at 4 o'clock. Yours truly, Willie P. and Hugh Douglas will be in line for that. We'll take you up until about 6:15, when we will hand the baton to Chris Goforth as well as Harry Douglas. And then Wes and Arch will have the call for you socially distanced from Mercedes-Benz Stadium for the game that will take place at Lambeau Field on Monday night. Might not be the only game that takes place on Monday with the news coming out of the Patriot game. We could possibly have a situation where we have three straight days of NFL football. All that and more as we get you into our NFL Ground and Pound, which starts right now. So the big breaking news inside the NFL today, a positive test for Patriots quarterback Cam Newton has derailed an on-time start for Patriots and Chiefs on Sunday. Originally, the NFL said that they were going to postpone that game to either Monday or Tuesday. ESPN's Adam Schefter now saying more than likely Tuesday night could be the destination for that game. So you have a Sunday slate of NFL games, including Sunday Night Football, which you'll hear right here on 92.9 The Game between the Eagles and the Niners. Monday Night Football between the Falcons and the Packers, and possibly a Tuesday night game between the Patriots and the Chiefs. Patriots have a bye coming up here, so that's part of the reason why they're looking at that and saying that's possibly a little bit more appetizing for them to play that game on Tuesday instead of some of the other machinations that have been talked about. But there is certainly a very interesting development that's come about. According to a couple of reports, and I haven't been able to confirm this independently, but some are saying that there's also a positive test on the Chiefs side, which has led to part of the reasoning behind both of these teams trying to get more tests. And again, I'll say the statement I said earlier. I am not going to sit here and belabor anything that is done out of the abundance of caution. However, Falcons had a positive test on their side, and they played on Sunday. I'm not saying that was right or wrong, but I am saying that the Falcons kind of feel like they're crying foul a little bit, or at least if I was the Falcons, I'd be crying foul over the fact that we had to play within 24 hours of a positive test, and there's a little bit more consideration being given to Patriots-Chiefs, maybe because of the quarterback, or maybe because of what happened with the Titans and the Steelers. We finally now know that the Steelers and Titans will have an early bye. They'll have to play 13 consecutive weeks as they move their game to week number 7. Steelers and Ravens will move their byes from week 7 to week 8 in order to accommodate that game being played. Now, as far as the Steelers and Titans having to play 13 games in a row, Mike Tomlin, the head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers, was asked about the fact that his team will not have a bye week now for the rest of the season.
Mike, what is your reaction to potentially playing 13 straight weeks, and how tough will that be physically?
We do not care.
How crazy is that? So they'll have to play 13 consecutive weeks. Mike Tomlin, very matter-of-fact there. And again, I don't necessarily fault him for saying it the way that he did, but at the same time, it is going to be a very, very tough road for the Steelers. Again, they'll have an early bye to make that happen. Found out this morning a couple of more positive tests on the Titans side. You can call it an outbreak now. 16 positive tests, 8 personnel members and 8 players have basically riddled that organization now in a scenario where they still have not opened up their building. So they're, of course, now thinking about next week for them just because of the fact that now you have 8 players who are part of that 53-man roster we'll be without. We've seen this happen kind of in the college game just based on the fact that you've had guys in particular position groups that have been completely depleted, and that's part of the reason why some of these games in the college realm have been postponed because of the fact that you just can't field what is being termed as a safe amount of players at a particular position. Speaking of being depleted, the New Orleans Saints, not COVID-related, but 6 players on their side have been ruled out for their game against the Detroit Lions. We also have an update on the Falcon injury report, which we'll get you to here as part of our Falcons big segment about a half hour from right now. But we can tell you no Keanu Neal, no Ricardo Allen, no Younghoe Koo, and we'll give you the rest of that as we go throughout the show. But among the New Orleans Saints, Michael Thomas won't play. Neither will the cornerbacks for them, Marshawn Lattimore and Janoris Jenkins. Tight end Jared Cook, guard Andres Pete, and defensive end Marcus Davenport all out for New Orleans as they get ready to take on the Detroit Lions. Also in the news, this has just come down from the National Football League. In order to replace the television window that will be vacating the Chiefs and Patriot game on Sunday, the Colts-Bears game, originally scheduled to be played at 1 o'clock Eastern time, will now move to the coveted 4:25 window and will be seen by much of the country. A couple of teams with winning records. Again, there are a lot of teams sitting at 1-2 right now in the National Football League, but that's one of the few games that's taking place this weekend involving 2 teams with winning records. So they will move that game again from 1 o'clock to 4:25, and much of the country will see that. There'll also be some different maneuvering of the schedule in order to try and have some different games on in places that we're supposed to see Chiefs and Patriots already. But that game between the Colts and the Bears is now a 4:25 contest. Colts are 2-1, Bears 3-0. Indianapolis, a 3-point favorite. Of course, we saw the Bears last week. I still say they're a foe 3-0. I'll sit here and say it until the cows come home. They were a DeAndre Swift drop away from losing that game. Saquon Barkley doesn't get hurt against the Giants. They don't win that game. And if we don't gack it up, and I know if it's or butts and candy and nuts, I understand the way that phrase goes. But I look at the Bears and say 3-0 is not what that team is. That's one of the few anti-Bill Parcells things where Bill always loves to say your record, you are what you say your record says you are. I don't think that's the case when it comes to the Chicago Bears. Just saying. Back to some games involving COVID. Of course, when the Titans positive tests happened, the big concern was what's going to happen involving the Minnesota Vikings. Vikings playing their game against the Houston Texans. They really weren't able to get themselves in their building until at least Thursday. So they had one less day of full practice when it comes down to it to get ready for the game against the Houston Texans. Here's their head coach, Mike Zimmer, on that.
Other teams had to move for hurricanes and different things that were unaccounted for. And president has been set that, you know, those other teams went ahead and went about their business. And, you know, the other team had to figure out a way to survive and move forward. So that's kind of the precedent that they set. And so that's what it is.
Again, Vikings and Texans on Sunday. Minnesota reporting no positive tests on their side. This was not what NBC had in mind for week number 4 for their Sunday night football game between the Eagles and the Niners. No Deshaun Jackson, no Alshon Jeffrey for Philadelphia. Quarterback Carson Wentz will once again have a makeshift group, if you will, of wide receivers. Also, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, doubtful with a calf injury. The only healthy receivers on the 53-man roster right now are Greg Ward and John Hightower. Good luck, Eagles, who sit at 0-2-1. Although the Niners aren't exactly springful themselves, the fact that they played the New York Giants last week should not be an indication of their actual wealth. They did so with a largely makeshift group and beat a very bad Giants team. And they will still have to start Nick Mullins at quarterback. No handsome Jimmy available this weekend for San Francisco. Jimmy Garoppolo will not play once again. So Nick Mullins, we need your help, Mullins, will start this weekend for San Francisco against Philadelphia. That is a Sunday night game, and you'll hear it right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I know that's a terrible promo for it, but I'm just telling it like it is, guys. It's just I just read the card in front of me. That's the way it works, okay? As far as what happened on the other nationally televised game we had on Thursday Night Football earlier this week, Jets and Broncos ended in a very weird fashion. 3G Greg Williams, you know the extra G means genius in that regard. Couple of very bad personal fouls taken by the Giants against quarterback Brett Rypien, which caused Vic Fangio to pull his team off the field in New Jersey. He tells us why.
I just wanted to avoid any confrontation at the end of the game and having it get ugly there. So I tried to get our guys to leave quickly just to avoid anything happening there. I thought it was the prudent thing to do.
So basically a little bit of a shade thrown from Vic Fangio toward the way of Greg Williams and that Jet defense. If there's one guy not named Dan Quinn that people are calling for the job of, it is New York Jets head coach Adam Gase, who had this to say to his critics.
I know we're working to get this thing right. I mean, I'm not happy about this. I mean, I know we can play way better than this. I know we can not beat ourselves and do the things we're doing.
That's not quite the Bob Knight quote where he said, I hope they bury me upside down and my critic can kiss my rear end. That's not quite the Bob Knight quote. But, you know, I understand we have our problems here in Atlanta. But if you watch our team and you watch that team is dysfunctional. Our team just can't close out games. Now, neither of those things is what you would call acceptable. I'm going to tell you right now, neither of those things is acceptable. But the Jets look more like a team that has lost the message from its head coach and has a lack of talent. I believe we, the Falcons, have talent. I just don't feel like the talent is playing up to the best of its ability. And that's an NFL ground and pound for week number 4 going into tomorrow's games inside the National Football League. Again, the games look like this. Colts and Bears, that's moved to 4:25. The game between the Patriots and the Chiefs has been moved to either Monday or Tuesday, looking more likely like Tuesday. Other games involve the Bills and Raiders. Should be an interesting contest with Josh Allen taking on Derek Carr and the Raiders. Eagles-Niners is a Sunday night affair, and other games involve Browns, Cowboys, Jaguars, Bengals, Ravens, and the Washington football team. Of course, our Falcons play Monday night. You'll hear it right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, with the Wade Ford Tailgate Show kicking off our coverage at 4 o'clock on Monday following a preempted version of Dukes and Bell from 2 until 4. 404-741-0929. I want to hear you on the phones and also the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Answer this question next. Did the Braves series win over the Cincinnati Reds fully exercise the demons for you, or do you still have concerns about this team as it goes further into the playoffs? We'll hear from you, and I'll give you my thoughts on that coming up next, right here on Willie P. in the Building, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and radio.com.
This place is the beat of my heart.
Happy Saturday to you and yours. Willie P. is in the building. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and radio.com. We take you in from the mobile Kia Studios. 404-741-0929 is how you get in touch with me, Willie P. We'll take some calls and also some texts on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. One person who's a smart aleck said Chicago Bears are 3-0. I said, yeah, I said that. I said their 3-0 record is somewhat fraudulent, though, because it's a paper-thin 3-0. Like the old line from My Cousin Vinny where it says the guy's case is as thin as his playing card and he shows you the Joker and says you're innocent. Yeah, well, that's kind of the way I look at the Bears' record. Just updating you really quickly on the college football scoreboard, Tennessee is back into the end zone. They lead 21-6 on Missouri right now. Number 21 team in the nation has a lead, trying to go to 2-0 on the season. Number 3, Florida, with the football and the lead against South Carolina, 17-14. TCU, bit of a mild upset, 14-7. They lead on Texas right now. That game is in the second quarter. NC State up on number 24, Pittsburgh, 17-10. In state, it is Georgia State with a 34-10 lead over East Carolina. That game, again, taking place on the south side, the formerly known Turner Field. Also, Coastal Carolina in that same conference in the Sun Belt, 17-14. As we said also earlier, Georgia Southern on the road for a night game at Malone Stadium, Louisiana Monroe. Braves into the NLDS, and I will say this. I will give you something, and again, I want to hear your thoughts at 404-741-0929. Do you believe the Braves completely exercised the demons, the 19-year streak without a series win? Because I'll give you an opinion that I had kind of my mind changed on over the course of this series. I thought that it was going to take a series win in the NLDS for me to be fully convinced that you had completely shaken the bad juju of the Braves in the postseason. But with the way that they won these two games against Cincinnati, I feel like it's turned away as far as all the bad juju and the bad karma, whatever you want to call it. Because we as fans, we buy into that garbage. And, you know, the analytic people will try to tell you that there's no such thing as clutch and there's no such thing as a guy cracking under the pressure. Everything comes down to what is written on paper and numbers and stats and formulas and algorithms. But the game's not won on paper. The game is played by people. And people are imperfect. And I do feel like there's been a bit of imperfection that has riddled this Braves franchise for one reason or another. A lot of it in our control, a lot of it out of our control. Jerk umpire calls an infield fly rule. We might not be talking about a curse. But be that as it may, I do feel like, for whatever reason, the way that they played these two games kind of exercised the demons a little bit when it comes to the Atlanta Braves. The fact that you were able to win two games where you really only had three innings where you scored. Scored in the 13th inning, obviously, in game one. Scored in the middle part of the game in game two. And then the four-run barrage in the eighth inning to put the game out of reach. I didn't think it was a surprise that Ian Anderson looked the way that he did in game two either. Because I do believe that because of not only the way that he was brought up, but I think what he was brought up around, he was brought up in a scenario that gave him an ability to not only capture the moment, but not let the moment be too big for him. He's somebody who, from the first time he took the ball in the major leagues, a couple of very big venues, Yankee Stadium, Fenway Park, he was able to not only be calm enough to get through those, but also thrive in those better than any of the Braves starters who have come up and made their debut, whether it's by a team debut or rookie debut. We saw some slippage from guys like Davidson and Weigel and other guys who we'd been hearing about throughout the Braves season, in addition to the cast of retreads that basically did not pan out. Yes, I'm talking about Newcomb, Tukey, and the like. Whether Bryce Wilson works out, we won't know. Had one good start down the stretch. He'll probably be called about to play coming up in game number four if it's necessary. But I still don't have a heck of a lot of faith in him. And that's kind of something I talked about earlier with our Joe Patrick here on Sports Radio 929. The game, if you missed it, it's online at radio.com. But going into this series against the Marlins, I do feel like you have an advantage against a team that you've won six of the 10 matchups you've seen from them this season. I do feel like that in your four head-to-head pitching matchups, you have the advantage. There is no Jose Urena, so that part of the equation is completely out of it for Miami. They're probably going to start Sandy Alcantara in game one like they did in game one earlier against the Cubs. That'll guy go against Max Fried. I feel like that's a win for us. Anderson against Sanchez is the kind of swing game for me. If you win that game, you have the chance to possibly sweep because you've done very, very well against the game three starter for Miami, Pablo Lopez. But you have to be able to beat Sixto Sanchez with Anderson on the hill in game two in order to try and get out of here before having to deal with a game four. Because if Miami wins game two, I see this series going five. Because it's hard to handicap and predict a game four win for the Braves. You have to get the 2-0 against Miami. And if you get the 2-0, then you have a little bit of a cushion with game three and four. But I do believe that it will be difficult to predict a series win for the Braves unless you win the first two. Now, having said that, I feel more confident against this Marlins team than I did against Cincinnati. I was one of the guys who was out there saying I was afraid of what Cincinnati brought from the pitching aspect. And again, those concerns were very well warranted, given the fact that we only scored six runs in the series in between two games. Now, won us the game, won us the series, and our pitching staff did very, very well against them. But because of that, you look at the standpoint of our team and you wonder just exactly how you feel about them going forward, whether or not they can duplicate that particular result. It's certainly difficult to predict it, but I do believe that we have what it takes to not only get past Miami, but put up a good fight against the Dodgers. Look, the Dodgers are far and away the best team on paper in the National League. I don't think we're too far behind, but I do feel like they are the favorite for a reason. Not only with their frontline starting pitching, their bullpen, and their lineup is about as long as ours is. And the problem with postseason baseball is games in the postseason are not necessarily always won 11-7. We did see some weirdness in the Yankee-Indian series with some offense going haywire. That certainly was something that you look at and you say was very unexpected. But the Yankees were a team that's built like us. Kind of flaky starting pitching and the ability to outslug teams when you need them to. Yankees and Rays will take place in San Diego. Houston and Oakland will be at Dodger Stadium. Dodgers-Padres will be in Arlington. Those are your other series. And the interesting thing about all four is that they all take place inside their division. I gave you the stat earlier. Seven teams made the playoffs from the American League and National League Central Divisions, and all seven of those teams lost in the eight series that were played, which I found incredibly interesting. I think Caleb has shared the stat in our updates throughout the day, and I think Joe Patrick talked about it with us earlier. Seven times the Marlins have played in a postseason series. They've won all seven in their 28 years of existence. I don't put a lot of stock into that because those are all different teams. And if you think about the 97 and 2003 versions of the Marlins, this group would be far behind either of those two in my mind. But there's something about this group. They call themselves the bottom feeders. They've got a little bit of swagger. And that's something you look at and you say could be possibly concerning. They got a little mojo on their side, but I do believe that we have what it takes to get past them. So that should be very interesting to look at as we go throughout the day. About an hour from right now, we'll talk to Georgia beat writer for Dog Nation and the AJC, Mike Griffith. Of course, he will chat with us about Georgia and Auburn, Deep South's oldest rivalry. Look, you got to account for Auburn's Seth Williams. That's one guy you look at and you say he's a big part of what they do offensively. Bo Nix was somebody who kind of has a Brett Favre profile to him, bit of a gunslinger, has Favre-like moments. One thing that Auburn could not do against Kentucky last week that I feel like plays into Georgia's hands is they couldn't run it. Bo Nix was their leading rusher last week with only 34 yards. Threw it 50 times last week against Kentucky. Would be surprised if it's half that tonight. They're going to want to try and get the run game going. Georgia, though, has to be more efficient with their run game. They ran it 42 times against Arkansas for just 121 yards, and Kentucky ran it 40 times for 145 against Auburn last week. Auburn needs to be much more efficient with the run, especially if you have Stetson Bennett starting in that game, which I believe that will be so. 404-741-0929. We'll continue to read stuff on your Solomon Brothers Diamond text line comments, and also we'll get into the Falcons' big segment next. What does a win against the Packers do for you? Is it just an anomaly? Is it an outlier? Or does that have the chance to possibly turn the tide for you for this football team? We'll ask that question coming up next and hear from you on the phone lines at 404-741-0929. Willie P is in the building. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and radio.com. Willie P is in the building. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Radio.com. 404-741-0929 is how you get in touch with me, Willie P. On Twitter, at Willie P Style. You can hit me up on anything we've been talking about. Thank you to the texter and the 404 who said, the Braves look different, have confidence, and have drive. I agree. They've looked like a different team in this postseason than they have in the past. They took the bull by the horns against Cincy, and we'll see how they do against Miami. Again, we're getting some videos now in from various people who cover the team, including our own Joe Patrick, that has the Braves working out right now at Truist Park. They're currently quarantined at the Battery, basically, the Omni there. They're being held until they get on a plane to go to Houston for their series, which begins on Tuesday. And as I mentioned earlier, myself, Joe Patrick, and Caleb Johnson will be featured in a Facebook Live video after every Braves postseason game. Just log on facebook.com/929thegame. You can sign up there and get everything you want. Post-game reaction. We'll take your questions about things that happened during the game, and we'll also try to give you the vibe of what is being said with our post-game interviews, as Joe Patrick will be in all those Zoom meetings that take place after the games in Houston. Falcons big segment now, 404-741-0929. I really haven't come up with a better name for it. I know Chuck Reese got Falcons Flyover. Falcon Report is what Dukes and Bell call it. Lunchtime Falcons Report is what happens on the midday show. But I'm just calling it the Falcons big segment. And again, updating also our top story involving the National Football League. Cam Newton testing positive for COVID-19. His positive test and the test we're finding out now of Kansas City Chiefs practice squad quarterback Jordan Te'amu has moved that game to either Monday or Tuesday, the game between the Chiefs and the Patriots. Looking more and more like Tuesday is probably going to be the day, because they're right now trying to do all the testing and contact tracing and all the updates to try and make sure that nobody else has the virus. The Tennessee Titans have 16 guys who have it. They had their game, of course, postponed to a later week, week number 7. That game is going to be played then. It was originally scheduled to be played on Sunday. NFL has moved the Colts-Bears game from 1 o'clock to 4:25 to replace the Chiefs game in the slate and in that window. But it's looking again like it's probably going to be Tuesday night, according to Adam Schefter, because of the positive tests to both Cam Newton and Jordan Te'amu. And again, I just asked the question rhetorically. Not necessarily rhetorically. I feel like it's an answer is needed from the league. Why is the protocol different for this positive test, or at least these two positive tests, when you basically let the Falcons play about 24 hours after a positive test for AJ Terrell? Doesn't necessarily make a lot of sense to me. But again, I'm not in the league offices in Park Avenue, and I'm wondering, too, how much the Titans outbreak has caused this difference of protocol when it comes to what's happening with Patriots and Chiefs. As far as us on Monday night, did get an update on the injuries from Dan Quinn earlier today. He spoke with the media in advance of their Saturday workout. Again, everything shifts back a day. Normally, they'd only have a walkthrough today, but today they will do their final padded practice of the weekend before a Sunday walkthrough and travel to Green Bay to take on the Packers. You'll hear the coverage beginning at 4 o'clock with us on the Wade Ford Tailgate Show. Myself and Hugh Douglas will be there as well. Chris Goforth and Harry Douglas give you the countdown to kickoff beginning at 6:15, and then West Durham Dave Archer with the call of the game from Mercedes-Benz. They'll be there. The game will be at Lambeau, and they will call the game from socially distant nature right here on 92.9 The Game. Both Ricardo Allen and Keanu Neal will not play this week. Neither will Younghoe Koo. When the Falcons face 0-3 Green Bay, basically Jalen Hawkins replaces both those guys, Allen and Neal, in the lineup. He'll be lined up alongside Devontae KZ. They'll do something a little bit different with their base package. Instead of going with the 4-2-5, it'll be basically a hybrid 4-3 with that third linebacker basically acting as a nickelback. No Darquez Denard, of course, found out that he had a hamstring injury. He's now on the IR, so he will not play either. But they do expect Kendall Sheffield to come back, so that's an encouraging thing for the Falcons secondary. Still no word yet on A.J. Terrell. Looks like he is still part of the COVID-19 protocol, having a positive test that dates back to last Saturday. As far as the Falcons on the field go, a lot of questions this week about what exactly this 0-3 start you can attribute it to, because it's a lot of different things. We asked this about Dan Quinn when it comes to the mentality of not being able to hold leads late in games. You could call it the choker mentality. You can call it mismanagement. You can call it lack of execution. But one thing is for sure, Dan Quinn told us this week on Dukes and Bell, that's a moniker they have to shed this week in order to get themselves their first win.
I think you got to go do it. And that's the part about, being in this competitive arena that you are. It's like you so badly want to get back to that moment to do it. And so we've got to play well all the way leading up to that spot to put us into those spaces. But when we get the lead, you got to, like I said, close the door to go. So let's get us into that space. We've got enough playmakers to do that. But you got to go back into that same environment to make sure you can do it. And we're certainly planning on doing that.
I will give the Falcons credit in this regard. And I will give our management at 92.9 The Game credit in this regard too as well. Is that we are allowed, and I feel like this is needed, but we have the ability to showcase a bevy of honesty when talking about this football team. That's not always the case in certain places that I've worked. If you work for the flagship of a radio station, a lot of times your verbiage is muzzled in a way in order to protect the relationship.
WCGCHD1, a radio.com.
But when it comes down to it, I do believe that when you look at the Falcons, you have to have some honest conversations about this team. You just do. And because of that, you have to ask the tough questions to Dan Quinn. And when we talked with him earlier this week, I asked the question, look, we understand what Arthur Blank said at the end of last year. We understand that he said great coaches make adjustments. And our hope is that if their adjustments need to be made, that Dan and those around him will make them sooner. I asked Dan earlier this week, how confident is he that the adjustments that he'd made going into week four can turn this thing around for this team?
Just fight like hell for what you believe in, and I certainly do in these players and this team. And some of the things that we were so disappointed about leaving Dallas was defensively on third down and our play in the red zone. And we certainly made strides in there. One of the topics on offense was, more efficiency of running the ball, and so making progress in that space. So we're more than confident in the adjustments we plan to make to have a different outcome. We are 100% committed to get back in the fight, and we can't wait to Monday night to get a chance to do that.
That's Dan Quinn on Dukes and Bell with us. And again, I give a lot of credit because we asked some tough questions. I think there's a line that basically just when it comes to personal responsibility that you wouldn't want to cross anyway because you have to cover a guy on a daily basis, whether you work for the flagship or not. We can't just sit out there and call people morons. This is not what we do. It's not respectful. There is certainly an ability for us to criticize, but that criticism has to be done in a professional nature and not a personal nature. And I feel like we do that abjectly here at 92.9 The Game. And so because of that, that's why we ask questions like, how confident are you that we can turn this around? Because that, quite honestly, is what every Falcon fan wants. They don't want to be 0-3. They want to think that, hey, we can go on a run, maybe win 5-6 in a row and be 6-3 at the bye. I don't know how realistic that is, but that's where a lot of people are. And if you're one of those guys who say you want them to be 0-9 and fire everybody and go get Trevor Lawrence, then that doesn't really make you a real Falcons fan in my mind. It just doesn't. Because I understand that the route and road to prominence usually deals with a bad season that leads to a high draft pick, that leads to a remake and renovation of the football roster in the franchise. But I still feel like there is a window for this group, as currently constituted, to do some things. We are a couple of plays away from being 2-1, just like the same thing I said about Chicago. They are a couple of plays away from being 1-2, 0-3. Instead, they sit at 3-0. The one thing that does have to get better is the secondary. I think if there's one unit on the football team that's underperformed more than any, it's that group. I said this and talked about this earlier this week with Brian McFadden, who joined me last weekend on this very program to talk about that same unit. And he said a lot of the things we talked about last Saturday basically personified themselves in Sunday's loss to Chicago.
It's funny because some of the things that I talked about with you last Saturday surfaced during the game against Chicago. And that just boils down to the personnel decision. You know what I mean? When you're trying to assemble a team, number one, I think you need to understand what the identity of your ball club is and find the individuals to fit that identity. And then when you find those individuals, you got to be able to mix experience with youth. And I think right now, especially at the cornerback position, you got a lot of young guys. I'm surprised to see the struggles at the cornerback position, guys, but I'm not, because you don't have any sound leadership at that position.
And, you know, it really is kind of bad that the guy who was the rookie, and again, this is not throwing any shade against A.J. Terrell, but that guy walks in and is your best corner in the room, that's an indictment on the rest of the secondary. That's just me. Again, I also feel like we have not given Kendall Sheffield a chance to play a lot this year, so he's excluded from that shade. But Isaiah Oliver is the one guy that you look at and you say that the target is squarely on him. And I understand, you know, at full strength, maybe he's not on the field as much, but he's a second-round pick. He has not panned out the way that you'd liked him to pan out as a Falcon. BMAC talked about the struggles of Oliver when we spoke earlier this week on Dukes and Bell.
When you get to the next level, you got to be able to play with the energy and play with the athleticism, but you have to be able to incorporate fundamentals and technique. Right. And when you lack confidence, or when your confidence is a bit shaky, the first thing that will go is the technique that you have. And that's what we're seeing right now. If you go back in the week before Chicago, he had some issues against the Cowboys, and then week one against Seattle. So bad game, and then Chicago comes along, and then confidence kind of surfaced once again. He's lacking confidence. I think he has to find a way to get his confidence back, because he has to be the guy, right? They have nowhere else to go.
There's nothing that I've seen that allows me to think that I would want to pick the Falcons in this game. Nothing that I've seen over the first 3 weeks gives you any confidence that you want to pick the Falcons this week. But like I've been saying since Monday when I was on Dukes and Bell, it'd be the most Atlanta thing ever to go 0-3 to start and win this game against Green Bay. Same kind of thing happened last year against New Orleans. You beat a team that was much better than you, and you went into their building and did it. So I wouldn't be completely shocked if they go in and pull the upset against Green Bay, but they have to show things in this upcoming game that they have not seen in the first 3 weeks, including the ability to close, which we haven't shown all season. Willie P is in the building, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Next hour, a conversation with Mike Griffith of Dog Nation. We'll talk about the Deep South's oldest rivalry, Georgia and Auburn. Give you an update on all the other college football scores going on, and an update on the NFL schedule for week number 4. It's changed around a bit. It's a doozy. And also the kicker still to come as part of the final hour. Willie P in the building, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and radio.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.